Father, we thank you that you go before us. Thank you that in all these disasters and all these trials, you promise to be with us, to strengthen us. And you say, my grace is made perfect in weakness. So we thank you for today. And we thank you for the challenges we've experienced. And we pray that you'd bless us now as we come to your word. Speak, O Lord, by the Spirit, through the word. May we learn your word, love your word, and live your word. Head, heart, and hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Head, heart, and hand. Alistair Begg, I don't know if you know him, he's a Scottish pastor who lives in the US. He has a daily devotional, and my wife uses it, and every day he has a point, what to believe, how to feel, and what to do. And it's head, heart, hand. How to think, how to feel, how to live. Because we do stuff with our hands. We do stuff with other things as well, but most of the time we use our hands. So that's why we say head, heart, and hand. That's why we say learn it, love it, live it. Yeah? So there you go. Yeah, see? It's clever, that, isn't it, Kath? Hey, did I get a thumbs up? Brilliant.
I'm amateur from now on.
Well, praise God. She can even be... have her eyes closed, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, and she always smiles. It's a very proud moment for me. So, Paul begins to talk about pressing on. He starts this passage in verse 12 with, not that I have obtained this, or am already perfect. What is the this he's talking about? Well, we'll just refresh, perhaps I should have read it in the reading. He talks about, in verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is what we talked about when Christ comes back. And we will be raised as he was raised, and our human bodies will be glorified the way his human body is glorified. And he says, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect. Paul can be quite an intimidating character. Godly Christians can be, because they're so on fire for God, they can make us feel, oh, flipping heck. Sometimes, and maybe you've even felt that way about me, you've had a horrible week, and then you think, oh, that preacher's coming over to me to talk to me. I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I'm hungry, I didn't sleep, the kids are doing me head in, and now he's going to come and talk to me. And you know, that's okay, because sometimes I feel that way. I felt it today. My wife's sick, all that's going on with my granddad and all that, and poor Simon's sick as well. Then you get to the sports village, and it's a snake, it's a serpent of traffic. And you think, oh, I know they're all coming out and there'll be parking spaces, but can't they play football on another day? Of course they can't. It's the way of the world now, unfortunately. The Lord's Day means nothing now to most people. It's just Saturday plus one. But Paul could be an intimidating character. You can measure yourself against Paul and think, wow, he's really passionate, and I'm not. And Paul just wants to reassure them and say, I'm not perfect. Paul had his bad days. You can read about them in the book of Acts. Fell out with another preacher. Disagreed so vehemently that they couldn't work together. And yes, they parted. Perhaps I use the word fell out there. Perhaps that wasn't the right phrase. They parted in goodwill, because Paul commends him later on, but they just couldn't work together anymore. Who was right and who was wrong? I don't know. Probably a bit both, like most things. Probably both of them are a bit right and a bit wrong. So Paul's saying, I haven't obtained this. He hasn't obtained the resurrection from the dead. Because now what he means here... Yes, we are raised with Christ. We've talked about this a lot. There's who we are in Christ and who we are in ourselves. We've been raised with him to endless life, and our life is united with him. Our life is hid with Christ in God. But the receiving, like a down payment, but the receiving of it will be when he comes again. And Paul's saying here, I have not received, obtained this, or made perfect. And perfect in the Bible means complete. That's really what it means. You know, God calls Abraham, he says, go before me and be perfect. He's not meaning absolutely flawless and without sin, really. He's saying, go on to completion. You know, when it talks about Jesus being made perfect through suffering, it wasn't that Jesus was sinful and got purified, it was that his work was completed. Or God's work in him, in his human nature, was completed. So that's what Paul's meaning when he used the word perfection. There is a connotation to sinlessness, but it's more to do with completeness and maturity, which we'll come to in a few minutes. Paul says this, I haven't obtained this, but I press on towards the mark. I press on to make it my own. That glorification, I'm going to have it. Now some, those of us who call ourselves evangelicals, which means Bible Christians, the Americans call it, can get a little, those of us who emphasize grace, can get a little bit uncomfortable when I actually felt uncomfortable saying that. Because it's like, hang on, how do we don't obtain it. It's God's grace in us that gives it to us. How can we say we'll get that resurrection? Again, Paul talked about it in chapter 2. God works in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. So yes, Christians will work. They will live holy lives. They will do good deeds. They will love. They will grow in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me. That's inevitable, but it's a work of God's grace that will do it. Because Paul says this, I press on to make it my own. I run the Christian race so that at the last Christ will raise me from the dead. And why will I do that? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's a theme repeated right through the Bible over and over and over and over and over and over again. In the Psalms, you can read about it. You know, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. Psalm 63 says, my soul clings to you and your right hand upholds me. Yes, God, I cling to you, but only because you're clinging to me. Yes, God, I am running the race, the Christian race, running in Christ, so that I'll be glorified with him, but only because you've made me yours before the foundation of the world. At the cross, you made me yours. When I became a Christian, you made me yours. It's all from start to finish a work of grace. There's a beautiful song, Sovereign Grace. It's the first Sovereign Grace song I heard. No, it wasn't. It was the second. It was February 2015. And Eric and I went to Platt, Holy Trinity Platt in Manchester. And the chorus of the song by Sovereign Grace was this. Grace, grace, paid for my sins and brought me to life. Grace, grace, clothes me with power to do what is right. Grace, grace, will lead me to heaven, where I'll see your face and never cease to thank you for your grace. In that chorus, you've got the entire Christian life. Paid for my sins, justification. Brought me to life, being born again, regeneration. Clothed me with power to do what's right, sanctification, holiness. Will lead me to heaven where I'll see your face, glorification. And it's all of grace. So we do run. Christians do run to make the resurrection their own, because Christ has already made us his own. Do you see that? It's not us earning the resurrection by our holy life. We don't need to be uncomfortable with that. And Paul again wants to stress, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Paul is a work in progress, as we all are. And indeed, I believe this side of heaven, we all will be. There'll never be a day when you don't have to confess your sins to God. There'll never be a day when you can say, I've loved God perfectly today. Or I've loved my neighbour perfectly today. I've loved my neighbour just as much as Jesus Christ has. I've loved God just as much as the Lord Jesus Christ did. No one will ever be able to say that. We will all fall short because we are all fallen and imperfect. And that's no reason to beat ourselves and to chide ourselves as we may be tempted to. Because Paul says this, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a bad record. He's talked about it in the last passage. He persecuted the church. How would you like it if somebody who persecuted your daughter then decided they wanted to marry her? You'd feel uncomfortable. How would you feel if someone who persecuted you as a Christian walked through the door and said, I want to give my life to Jesus? Yeah, part of you would rejoice, but part of you would be like, well, I told you so. Why don't you listen to me? You may be more saintly than I am, but I would be like that. That's what we've lost, perhaps, the scandal of grace, how outrageous it is. It affronts a lot of us. We sort of think, well, hang on. I deserve a bit of revenge. Yeah? Well, God gave us what we deserved. You'd soon be pleading for mercy, wouldn't you? Paul didn't have the best record. But he said, and by forgetting, remember, it doesn't mean we don't remember, because Paul just mentioned that he'd persecuted the church. But he said, I don't let that define myself. I don't let that stop me from doing great things for God. I don't let that hinder my walk with him. I don't confess it over and over and over again. Or one poor soul, I remember a gospel preacher in Manchester when I was at uni, a gospel preacher came up to me. I've told you this story before. We've got new people here, so I can tell the story again. He said to me, I said, oh, it's great being a Christian. I've been a Christian 2 years. I said, one of my favourite verses is, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And he went, what, none? I said, yeah. Romans 8, verse 1. He says, but when you do bad things, don't you have to do good things to make up for it? I said, no. And I says, do you want me to show you where that verse is? And I showed it to him, and his face lit up. He said, wow, I never knew that. Even preachers need preaching too, including me. So don't you, that young man, I hope, is going on now with the Lord still, 20 years later. I hope he's ministering somewhere. He understood from that moment, I trust, that his identity was in Christ, and in Christ all our sins are paid for. The slate is wiped clean. And yes, the bad thing we've done, criminal records don't go away, reputations might not go away, but we shouldn't let those define us. Paul strained. Paul wanted to know Christ. And the resurrection, when we're glorified with him, that's when we'll know him. Not completely, because all eternity will be lost in wonder, love, and praise, but we'll know him as fully as we can. And we'll have all eternity to explore what Paul called the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. That's why heaven will be heaven. One of the Puritans, they were a group of Christians in the 1600s, and one of them said, Thomas Goodwin, they call him the most Christ-centered of all of the Puritans. He said, he wrote in one of his books, he said, if Christ wasn't in heaven, I wouldn't want to go. Give me all the gold pavements, give me all the healing leaves of the trees, give me all the light and glory. But if you took Christ away, all that would be hell. Because what makes heaven heaven is my Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven would be hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul pressed on. He disciplined his body. He talks about that. His passions. He kept his eyes on things above. That doesn't mean he was indifferent to the things of the world. Of course he did. He wasn't. It actually made him more active in helping the poor, in caring for them, in wanting to see them saved, in serving the church. But he had a heavenly perspective. He knew that everything he did here would have a bearing on what's above. Indeed, I was listening to a story. I was listening to a sermon. Joel Beakey, one of the preachers I like to listen to, he told a story. Again, you don't know if these are stories to make a point or whether someone's actually done it, but he said he met a Christian who was working on a building site. This story, it wasn't Beakey himself, it was a story he just told. And he was walking past a building site and he saw two blokes talking, and he said, are you having a good day? And they said, no. We work on a building site. Who can have a good day on a building site? Just moving rubble all day. And he said, well, I'm sorry. I hope things look up for you. And they had a bit of a chat. Then he walked down. And he met somebody he knew from church. And he said, hello, brother, are you having a good day? And he said, I'm having a brilliant day. I love doing this. He said, because what I do here will be reflected in eternity. He was doing his job to the glory of God. Filling wheelbarrows with rubble and putting them on a pile and making sure the ground was safe to build the skyscrapers on. See the difference perspective can make? What I do, he said, I want it to be pearls for my God. You know, Paul, I think he's referring to 1 Corinthians 3, where it says, every Christian's work will be tested. Some will be gold and silver, some will be wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones, excuse me. And that was Paul's perspective. Paul went through things that shock us. Why? Because he wanted to know Christ. He didn't go looking for them. They found him because he wanted to know Christ. He went over vast parts of the Roman Empire to make Christ known. Why? Because he wanted to know Christ. He strained. He denied himself the pleasures of sin, the world, because he wanted to know Christ. That's the mark, as we go on. That's the mark of a mature Christian. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call. Yes, we go to be with God immediately when we die. But the upward call means when we're raised with him, with our glorified bodies, reunited with our spirits, and all is made new. And I love that verse in Isaiah, the former things will not come to mind. I love that verse. It'll be forgotten, swallowed up, lost in wonder, love and praise. This is a mark of Christian maturity. Paul says in verse 15, let those who are mature think this way. So measure your maturity of a Christian by how much you desire Christ. Wow. How mature are you as a Christian? Well, how much do you desire Christ? Do you desire him as much as you did this time last year? This time last week? This time last month? This time yesterday? We go into bed on Saturday in anticipation, oh, it's the Lord's Day tomorrow, I get to worship God. I get to spend time with God alone and with my brothers and sisters at church. If you didn't, there's grace. Again, I've told you, I was fed up coming in. Indeed, if we're really honest, even when we desire him, we feel a part of us. You know, like John Wesley's hymn, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. You know, he did sing God's praise, but he wanted to do it more. You know, and he mourned not being able to do it more. So this isn't me hitting you over the head with the Bible, making you feel bad. But this is me saying, with me, because I sometimes struggle, let's together, SVC, press on to make Christ our own, because he's made us his own. Let's go on in Christian maturity. If you don't feel that way, Paul says here, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. I pray that God reveals it to you. If you're not a Christian, I pray God reveals himself to you, opens your heart to understand the word. We'll love you. We'll be your friends, and we hope you'll be ours. We will. I hope we will. And I hope you'll be ours too. But we're honest about that. We want you to come to know Jesus. And we pray God will reveal it to you, because he is the one who takes the initiative. And then Paul says, only let us hold true to that, to what we have attained. You may not be where you want to be in your Christian life. Well, hold true what you've got. Your faith might be faulty. You might be wondering, why is God allowing all these terrible things in the world? Why do I see so much misery? Why, oh why? And yes, there's answers to that. Christians have tried to give, and sometimes they're satisfactory, but sometimes they're not, let's be honest. And satisfactory, I mean, here and here, intellectually and emotionally. Sometimes they satisfy the mind, but not the heart. Because I know some of you, again, being honest, some of you are struggling when you... But what I say to you is what Paul said to the Philippians, hold true. You're struggling. Well, Paul struggled. Peter struggled. John struggled. Hold true what you've got. Your faith might not be what you want it to be. Your character might not be as conformed to Christ as you want it to be. Your love might not be as hot and as passionate and as compassionate and as kind as you want it to be. Well, look to Christ this very day. Run to Christ this very day. If you're not a Christian, we'd invite you to take him, receive him as your Saviour, and submit to him as your Lord. And if you are, that's just the beginning. You know, sometimes when we say, oh, give your testimony, you know, nobody says that to me now, but people say, why do you want to hear about what happened 22 years ago? Yes, it's nice to hear testimonies, but That was the beginning. Are you running to Christ every day? Are you just leaning and receiving Christ every day? Yes, there is a one-offness. Like when we get married, you only get married once, but they've got the rest of your life to build the intimacy of that relationship. So it is with Christ. Paul, that's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying, yes, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, but I want to press on because I want more of him. I strain, I stretch. It's the language of like people in the gym. You're pushing the weight up for that one last, or you're running a marathon and you've got that, you can see the finish line in sight and you think, oh, I've just got to keep going. Because why? Because Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ, who is altogether lovely and altogether worthy and altogether wonderful. He is his own reward. Christ and Christ alone. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ Jesus is my meat and drink, my medicine and health, my portion, my inheritance, yea, all my boundless wealth. To him be glory forever. Amen.